I'm not sure we have to go through this whole thing.
Good. There it is. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. I've been coming to APHA, I guess, since 1979, and I think I've only missed about 3 APHA meetings. So it's always wonderful to come to California. APHA always does well in San Diego or in San Francisco. It's always nice places to go. I do want to make a correction to my bio. It was the University of North Texas where I helped develop the School of Public Health. The UT School of Public Health has been around since about 1969, and that one we started in 1999. So I grew up in South Texas. I grew up on the border, and I'd spent 20 years up in the DFW area, and I was ready to come back south and to do something different. And so besides being on the faculty of the UT School of Public Health at the regional campus, I'm now the executive director for the Center for South Texas Programs, which includes our campus in Laredo, Texas, which is on the border where I grew up. And also I'm in charge of the AHEC centers. I don't know if you know about AHEC, the Area Health Education Centers, and we've got one in Laredo, one in Harlingen. And so the program that I'm going to talk about today is one that was started in 2004 by my predecessor, who unfortunately in 2006 had a sudden illness and passed away in the middle of the project. But this is a project that we have really wanted to continue. It was one that was funded by USAID. As you know, USAID projects are mostly for economic development in other countries, and one of the areas that they're interested in is occupational issues, and tuberculosis happens to be one of those issues that they fund often in terms of trying to address the public health knows no borders. And as you know, on the border, tuberculosis is high, and it's also the strain of tuberculosis is ones that are difficult to treat. So in 2004, just as a background, the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio, through its border programs, applied for this grant, and it's called the TIES Project because it's the training, internship, exchanges, and scholarships, which is the TIES Project. And the man on my left here is Richard Garcia, and he was the convener and the applicant of PI, and he's the one that passed away. And the gentleman on this side is the Mexico Secretary of Health for the state of Tamaulipas, and they were the two that had the idea to create a master's program at a university on the border called La Universidad Autónoma de Tamaulipas. In 2004, they had a meeting where different people got together from both sides of the border and began to exchange ideas about how universities could work together and what would be the best way to address some of the health issues. And in this particular situation, it was infectious diseases. So the proposal, as they developed it, was to develop a master's program at the university in Tamaulipas that would be a joint program with faculty from the United States, from the Health Science Center in San Antonio through our regional academic center in Harlingen, and also with faculty. And the program would be a two-year curriculum. It would award a master's degree that would look very similar to what our MPH in epidemiology would look like. So some of the participants, Paula Winkler is our director for the AHEC program in San Antonio, and she actually took on the PI after we lost Richard Garcia. And of course, I've told you about Richard, and then there was Dr. Claudia Miller, who runs a community service learning project, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, called STEER, which became the opportunity for the Mexican students to come to the United States. So when I talk about my program, it's really intended to bring students from Mexico to experience learning and how we do infectious disease control control in the United States, but it was also an opportunity for the U.S. faculty to learn about systems in Mexico at the university. And I will talk about the challenges that we had and the opportunities. These were the people on the U.S. side who participated. One of the major things and outcomes of this project was the ability for the Mexican students to have access to library resources in the United States, because their library system is not as good as our system in the medical schools. The Mexico participants and co-PIs were Juan José González Cabrales and Luis López Moreno. The project goal was to establish a Master's of Infectious Diseases degree at the Universidad Autónoma de Tamaulipas. The objectives for the program were, one, to expand the opportunities to increase understanding of international education, shared health research agendas among health professions, faculty, and both campuses. And, of course, to increase the opportunity to expand border-to-border health research and educational programming in support of the NAFTA agreement. To increase the opportunity for the health professions to work across borders, to lessen the economic, occupational, and public health burden of tuberculosis, and increase cultural competency with an infrastructure on both sides. So this was a real joint partnership where, and being on the border and having faculty that are right there on the border, it was convenient to have meetings where they could exchange ideas, they could talk about different curriculum strategies, the differences in how we design programs in this country, the way that universities work in other countries, and it was a real learning experience and an opportunity that we had along the border. And, of course, this was intended to strengthen the capacity of Mexican healthcare workforce by reinforcing common health outcomes goals across healthcare disciplines, and in particular about tuberculosis, because, like I said, tuberculosis knows no borders. And from a social context, people that live on the border go across to Mexico, and to them it is not a border. It is not like you realize you're going into another country. To them it's like just going across a river, just like we do in Austin, Texas, and in San Antonio, Texas. There's a river in the middle of the city, and you just cross the river and you go visit your relatives. And so going to the grocery store, going to buy herbs, going to curanderas in Mexico is like going downtown. And so there's not that the difference. And so when we have communicable diseases and infectious diseases along the border, we have to be able to have nurses that understand this, both systems, and be able to work in order to do contact investigations, to do follow-up, that kind of thing. So it's incumbent upon us on the border to be able to work with our partners in Mexico. And it was an excellent way to establish collaboration relationship with border employers who depend on a healthy workforce and have in common. And that was one of the other outcomes, that we were able to engage employers to address issues of employment and issues of disease. The participants in Mexico, and that is the state of Tamaulipas, and we had their School of Sciences, and then we had their veterinary school, the medical school, and of course the Universidad Autónoma de Nuevo León, which is another state, El Instituto Mexicano de Seguro Social, that's the Mexican Institute of Social Security. And most people are treated by the Social Security system, and they have hospitals in Mexico. And then the area that I'm in charge of as the center director for the South Texas is, we have a 38 county area that we consider to be on the border, and it's really the Health Science Center's responsibility to provide some health care and to recruit health professionals from the South Texas area to come to our school in San Antonio, so that we can provide nurses and physicians and dentists for the South Texas area. So we through our AHEC centers, which is really the purpose, is to recruit health professionals and to have pipeline programs, is that we cover that whole area. And so We have, if you see Webb County, Laredo, that's where we have a campus, and we have one in Harlingen, also in Cameron County. So we, our Health Science Center extends into South Texas. The model for the project was to start with that the state of Tamaulipas along the border, but Texas also borders the state of Nuevo León and Coahuila, and so for future directions, we would like to expand this program as there are universities along the border that could benefit from a master's program in epidemiology. This is just a picture of some of the conveners from both sides of the border. This was in 05, right before they had completed the planning and were ready to institute the program and had recruited the 15 students that were in the first cohort. The gentleman on my left is the president of our Health Science Center and his counterpart, the president of the Universidad Autónoma de Tamaulipas. The curriculum was a bi-national two-year program divided into four semesters and taught completely in Spanish to the students from Mexico. The first year, of course, was the didactic, learning about research methods, learning about community-based planning. The public health model in Mexico is very medical model, very traditional, so they don't do a lot of the outreach. They don't have community outreach workers that are like part of the university. So it was a learning experience for them to come to the United States and see all of our allied health professionals that work in the community in public health. So, of course, the main topic was on tuberculosis and community diseases. The curriculum was taught through the combined and efficient methods of using high tech. They had better high tech technology in Mexico than we did along the border in our conferences. But we used video conferencing, we used high touch clinical experiences for the students. The second year was dedicated to experiential learning on both sides of the border. So this is when we planned for our faculty and some of our staff to go to Mexico and to go out into the community and do the kinds of things that our health educators do in the United States through the public health program, what the nurses do in terms of going out into the community. So we were able to have an experience for the staff and faculty from the United States, from our Health Science Center, to go to Mexico and spend some time there. And then also, the last semester, that summer, the students came to the United States, and we had a community service learning experience for them in Harlingen, in Laredo, and in San Antonio. And we did it through our program that we have in South Texas called the STEER, which is the South Texas Education and Environmental Research Program. And it's also an experiential program to learn about the environmental hazards along the border. And so we, the students participated in the STEER program along with students that come from different parts of the country to STEER in the summer, which was a kind of an unintended consequence about the experience that students that go to Harvard and Yale and Columbia and they come to that summer program learn from the Mexican students. They did since it's on the border on the weekends, the American students would go to stay in the homes of the Mexican students and then go out in Mexico and learn about the culture that way, which was exactly what we did when they came like to San Antonio and gave them a different experience. The program started in September of 05. It was video conferences was the series, and we video conferenced to Matamoros, to Victoria, and Tampico, which are in other states in Mexico. We had 15 students. They all qualified for the program. Many of them were medical students. Some of them were in toxicology. Some of them were in pharmacology. We had 10 faculty, our human resources. We had the faculty from San Antonio, Laredo, and Harlingen. They had administrative support, of course, from our regional academic center in Harlingen. And like I said earlier, the library services became really important to the Mexican students. On the Mexican side, they had 10 doctors, and they had 9 faculty that were in the sciences, in the basic sciences. And the disciplines that the students were going to take was methodology and investigation, immunology, pharmacology, diagnostic, clinical, and molecular biology, and epidemiology. The infrastructure, like I said, was in video conferencing. They had clinical preceptors. In the last semester, we also gave out many grants for faculty on both sides of the border to work together on research activities, and that was part of the USAID grant, so that they could have students participate, which and then became topics for students to write their thesis to complete the program. From the U.S. side, we of course had the administration coordination, and we looked for sustainability, which became one of the focus. And like I said, we had the 15 students, we had the many grants, we established community outreach workers that we call promotores to take to Mexico, which was something that they did not know, and you didn't use community outreach workers. And of course, we then looked at for sustainability. The partners that we got during the time that we had the program was the Mexican consulate from McAllen. We made connection with what we call the maquiladoras, which are the twin agencies that we have on the border, you know, the mostly assembly type work that's done on both sides of the border. A connection with the Red Cross because they have a TB initiative. And then, of course, we had, you know, several seminars, convenios between the universities and the faculty. There was a connection with the Rotary International and connection with what we call Ventanilla de Salud, which is at the consulate offices. In the last 4 to 5 years, they have established health education information, or actually health screenings, while people are sitting at consulate offices trying to get papers or trying to register cars or trying to bring people from Mexico. So while people are sitting there, the consulate offices from Mexico have been providing health education. The challenges. This was a real learning experience, that the grant culture on both sides of the border at the university level is very different. So trying to do those joint mini grants for faculty became a challenge. It was a challenge also just to get visas to bring the students from Mexico into the United States to stay for extended lengths of time, that there were not just daily border crossings, but they actually had to stay. Scheduling and coordination and calendars, of course, was always a challenge. The reorganization of partner institutions became somewhat of a challenge in terms of organizationally trying to work on, like, the curriculum and going what curriculum committees are about, and that just the whole, just trying to work. It's a challenge working in your own institution with curriculum committees. And then, of course, we had the faculty language barriers, because most of our faculty are not Hispanic, even though we're on the border. So we had to arrange for simultaneous translations. And, of course, the bureaucratic issues of both institutions. And if we think we've got a bureaucracy on this side, they've got a bigger bureaucracy over there. And it was the first USAID project for both institutions, so that in itself was a learning experience in terms of dealing with that kind of grant dollars. And then these are the students that were working in the lab. They got a lot. They do a lot of lab work, and it's a very medical model in Mexico. Our public health model is a lot more like a social movement, you know, working in the community. And so over there, they thought that the only ones that could do public health were the physicians, the MDs. They don't even have public health nurses. So that was their learning experience for all of us. So that completes my presentation, and I really want to thank you for being here. And now I guess we can talk questions.
Well, I think we can open it up for questions, and since there's just a few of us, I think we can do this very informally.
Program?
Immersion.
Yeah, Universidad Internacional.
Oh, how yeah. do you how establish
yeah.
it?
I know it's been many years, but how do you get something like that going?
Very slowly.
Yeah.
Can I just come yep. down here and can
yep.
we just come yeah. It's a very long process, and one of the things that we have learned is that the establishment of the relationships and this kind of thing takes many years because of trust levels and that kind of thing. I won't be modest, and perhaps this is not lack of modesty, but I think the fact that I have lived in Mexico and consider some of the Mexican nurses and my own teacher from Puerto Rico and know something of the language, I think gave me an in a sense. That does not mean that I was immediately trusted in any way. But the fact that I had lived there, lived with the people, worked with the people, does help. The other individual who started the program with me preceded Wendy. Was a cultural anthropologist. So she also had a lot of insights into the culture. And then our university, the University of Texas at Arlington, had also sent students to, the Spanish department had also sent students to that university. So I think it was a combination of things. And
let me tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Just call the president and tell him Mary Lou Bond told me to call you.
Yeah, if you want to do it, we'll help you.
Yeah.
You know, we have helped many other schools get started.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Oh,
just tell them Mary Lou
we've
Bond
mentored.
Told you.
Yeah. But we have been going, we have learned, I think, to try to let them guide us. And sometimes we want to bite our tongues and say we don't want to do it this way. But when they have said, you are in Mexico, this is the way you need to do it, I have learned over the years to accept that and to try to learn from the teachers there, the families, the administrators, and they know what they're talking about, in their own culture. So we have just put ourselves in the position of allowing them to help us. However, but there's more to it than that. That is the cultural piece, okay? But are you in a university?
I'm in a small private liberal arts college. We have actually have an exchange of titles.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to guess.
Okay. Where are you?
It's in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, okay. Does your university have an international department?
We actually do. Just started.
Because that is also a piece that we had to go through when we got started. We had to work with the director of our international studies program, who at that time had to submit a request for us to start our study program with the coordinating board of the state of Texas. That is no longer the case in Texas. But at that time you did. So you have to play by the rules of your university as well with regard to submission of course objectives, activities, how you're going to charge the fees, how you're going to pay the faculty, if you're going to be on salary during the time you're there, if you're going to have your own travel expenses paid, and all of that kind of thing.
Speaking of that little piece then, do the same faculty go year after year, or do you broaden it? How do you allow
them? Well, we have kept it pretty close to our chest, in a sense, because, again, because of the length of time that we have perceived that it has taken to
mean, so we have your students living in the
For the school where we go, there is a housing department, and they are primarily middle-class families. They're very nice families. In places where your students would feel comfortable.
Are they?
And they do site visits from the university out to the homes. They have cooking classes for the family.
Yeah.
Not cooking classes, but they give them hints on what, you know, students from the United States will eat, what they won't eat.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs and pizza. Just, you know, order from Domino's and you'll be fine.
Well,
and
just basic.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tell them what to do if a student gets sick, you know,
right.
Exchange them. I'd be happy to correspond with
I'd
you.
I love
email
that.
That
too.
Yes. I this copy I have reserved for somebody here. If we go downstairs, we can get a copy of Xerox and I'll have to take it away with you. It's trial and error, quite frankly, and you break a few rules, and hopefully you will be receptive and learn from your mistakes. And because we are broken down, and let me give you an example. Maru. She is one of the co-owners of the school, and I made some faux pas, some cultural faux pas. I mean, I've been going to Mexico for almost 50 years, but I've still made cultural faux pas. And a couple of years ago, I was invited to something at the very last minute, but it was a big deal to her. It was a very big deal, and they had a lot of important people from the community there. And I told them I couldn't go because I couldn't go because I had already something else that I had committed to do. And it took a little while to remend that, even after a number, because she said, you're in Mexico, this is what's important. It's some hierarchical
kinds of things.
And at one point I said, well, we have... But you don't get yourself into that kind of a situation. You try to sometimes swallow your own customs and values, and it's easier to explain to some of your peers with whom you work. It's easier for me to explain to Wendy that, okay, I'm canceling on you tonight because...
But you don't
do that there. Right, Adela? Now, what
I was there for a month. I took my grandkids. But they were in high school, and I could get high school credit so they could learn Spanish. I was there for a whole month during the time that y'all were there, I think.
And I think you said granddaughters learned to flirt better in Spanish.
They love those boys, and those boys thought they were beautiful little blonde girls, so what else could they say? Yeah, they could just say, hola.
We will meet you at the airport.
No, they go on the same flight, but they can get.
the registration fee that students pay, $120, and so then that's how you get your expenses.
But if you should decide to take students to Port Arthur, to the particular university with whom I'm speaking, the students pay $100 registration fee. It's built into the fees. But the university, this particular University of Mexico, does not keep the $100.
Yeah.
It gives it back to us, mm-hmm. and that pays for faculty, room, board, and that kind of thing.
Great.
Why don't you go with us?
Sounds really fun.
Why don't you come
in January?
Yeah.
We'll introduce you to everybody.
Sounds very wonderful. Mm-hmm.
No, we've worked with a number of faculty.
Thank you
very much. In nursing to help them set up their programs, and I'd be happy to. I'll give you my card. Be happy to help you in any way.
Yeah, it sure opens a lot of doors, but it also presents a lot of issues. So.
It presents a lot of issues.
Well, it is doable. You created the merchant.
Yes.
What did you say?
Boy, I mean, health issues, and in Thailand, where you really are exposed to some tropical diseases. If anybody went to the one this morning.
I'm going to Thailand in January.
One of the good things about this call, there's so many good things about it. They have a health clinic. They have a doctor on site in the morning for 3-4 hours, and then a nurse is there all day. And they have all these connections.
So they can
See, that's one of the reasons we hesitate to go other places.
Well, what it made me realize is that what we started in Thailand would probably need to go further. And then, you know, maybe use that really. You've given me some great ideas of things we need to do to kind of develop our program, because we have a really good start, but it needs to be different. So,
worth it all for me. I think helping this one lady is just, you know, made it, it was wonderful.
That's what it's all about. And I'm going to run, I'm going to talk to her a little bit.
Good.
We'll talk.
Okay.
Much.
You're welcome. It's very nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Quite a career.
Yes.
Wonderful. That's two careers.
I know.
For the health department and then with the university.
Certainly.
Wonderful.
Yes, it was nice. I was invited to go and help develop an MPH program in the School of Public Health.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from the field,
mm-hmm.
it was really good that I could give them some input
yes.
into what we needed to do,
mm-hmm.
which we, I think, developed a really successful program.
That's wonderful.
And well, you're with what department of HRSA?
In the agency. Right now
yes.
I'm in the Office of the Administrator.
Oh, are you?
The Office of International Health Affairs. But for years
oh.
before that, I worked with the Bureau primary health care.
Did you?
Yes, I saw Dr. Otero. Was that Otero in the photograph?
Mm-hmm.
In the uniform.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. He was in yeah. Puerto Rico. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So we did some work on the border with, well, we used to have the
yeah.
border health officers
mm-hmm.
down there.
Right.
In Texas,
yes.
it was, what was his name? His brother was the. Two brothers that are physicians, and one is
Escobedo.
Yes,
Luis Escobedo.
Yes, Luis and Miguel.
And Miguel Escobedo, yeah.
Yeah. We've done some stuff down there.
Yeah.
I worked since 89 to 96 and advocated to get the border area as part of a HRSA.